I think to start today, we need to give it up for our worship team. How awesome are they? You guys have just been doing a phenomenal job. Appreciate you so much using your gifts and serving God and the church that way. It's just, yeah, so inspiring and so encouraging. So how about all y'all? How are y'all doing this morning? So all y'all means all of you all people. How are you all doing this morning? All right, well, I hope everybody's doing great today. I do want to mention that there's something big coming up this week. Do you know what is happening this week? Okay. Well, it's Abraham Lincoln's birthday this week. How did you not know that? Actually, on February 12th, it's Abraham Lincoln's birthday. It is a New York State holiday. And so I just want to mention, if you wake up that morning and you're feeling extra tired and you're wiping the sleep out of your eyes and you decide to wish Abraham Lincoln a happy birthday, it's your birthday, Abraham Lincoln, just call in and say, it's Abraham Lincoln's birthday, it's a state holiday, I'm going back to bed. Hit that snooze button and just go back to sleep and take the holiday that day. Just don't tell him I said that you could do that. But in any case, no, it is Valentine's Day coming up this week, Friday. So if that's your thing, then amen. If it's not, then amen to that too. But I just wanted to remind you, husbands, don't forget that. Don't miss that. Okay, that's an important thing to remember. But the thing about Valentine's Day is that often with Valentine's Day, we think about love. And speaking of love, a disciple of Jesus is all about love. You see that? See what I did there? See how I segued into that? Is that cool? All right. Well, anyway, you should never highlight the segue if you have to, you know, mention it. But in any case, last week we continued our Disciple of Jesus series, and we talked about loving God with all of our... Whoa, okay, guys. Quick recap from last week. We talked about loving God with all of our heart, right? And to love God with all of our heart is to give God all of our choices. That's how we love God. And to be a disciple of Jesus, we need to love God with our whole heart, which means aligning our will with God's will. It's the prayer, "Thy will be done." Amen. You're with me. Okay, good. You're with me. At least a couple people are. Well, again, I wanted to remind us that the core of Jesus' teachings, and remember, as disciples of Jesus, we're abiding in his word. We're holding to his teachings. The summary of those teachings, the core of Jesus' teachings, can be summarized in the greatest commandment, Luke 10, 25 through 27. Also found in Matthew 22, 37 through 40, and Mark 12, 29 through 31. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "What is written in the law?" he replied. "How do you read it?" He answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength," or with all your might, "and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." And then Jesus responds, "You've answered correctly." And so next up in our series of loving God with everything that we are, today we're going to talk about loving God with all of our might. Another way to say that is with all of our strength. And if you notice, we're going to skip soul, but we're going to get back to soul after next weekend. And so just to define some of these terms, okay, I want to go through, okay, what do these things mean? And so we need to first ask the question, what is love? Baby, okay. In any case, to love is to give. We can think of loving as giving. We think of God as God, amen, with all of our, or all of, well, what is might? What does that mean? What is strength? What is Jesus talking about when he says might or strength? Well, I have the definition for you today. And so what he means by that is to Give God all of your energy, all of your passion, all of your resources, your skills, your gifts, and your abilities, since they come from God anyway. To love God with all of our strength is to give all of that back to God. It's to love God vehemently. It's to love God with all of our gifts, with all of our abilities, with all of our strength, our passion, our resources. It's to give it back to God. That's what that means. And a question that we need to ask ourselves is, well, where are we in terms of where are we giving our strength, our energy, our resources, the things that God has blessed us with? Where are we giving those things to? And we find that out when we're tested. When we are tested. And remember, that's what God was doing with Israel when they were in the wilderness. Deuteronomy 8, verse 2. Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the wilderness these 40 years to humble you and test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commands. And so God tested the Israelites while they were out there three times. And he tested them in different ways. And so there's more than just these three times, but there's three specific times that we see God testing the Israelites and to see where their heart was. And we talked about that last week, and I'll highlight that again a little bit. But he also tested them to see where their strength was. Where were they putting their energy, their resources, their gifts? Were they loving God vehemently? And he put them to the test. And so today, we're going to look at that test, the test of the Israelites' might or strength. So you can turn with me in your Bibles over to Exodus 17, verses 1 through 7. And when you turn there, you can say strong. Okay, you guys, it takes a little bit to get over there, but we're talking about loving God with all of our strength and with all of our might. So you gotta, you know, you gotta get there with me. And so Exodus 17, verses 1 through 7. So I'll read the passage and then I'll give you some practicals with it. So Exodus 17, the whole Israelite community set out from the desert of Sin, traveling from place to place as the Lord commanded. They camped at Rephidim, but there was no water for the people to drink. So they quarreled with Moses and said, "Give us water to drink." Moses replied, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you put the Lord to the test?" But the people were thirsty for water there, and they grumbled against Moses. They said, "Why did you bring us up out of Egypt to make us and our children and livestock die of thirst?" Then Moses cried out to the Lord, "What am I to do with these people? They are almost ready to stone me." The Lord answered Moses, "Go out in front of the people," which is a scary command, right? They're about, they are ready to stone him, but God's like, "Go right out in front of the people, take with you some of the elders of Israel, and take in your hand the staff which you struck the Nile, and go. I will stand there before you by the rock at Oreb. Strike the rock, and water will come out of it for the people to drink." So Moses did this in the sight of the elders of Israel, and he called the place Massah and Meribah because the Israelites quarreled and because they tested the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" All right, so we see an interesting test here, and I want to get into how was God testing their might, because that is the test that we see here happening in the beginning of Exodus 17. And so we see a similar situation coming up as to what we talked about last time in Exodus 15. The Israelites were traveling. It was for 3 days that they had traveled, and there was no water for them. And so the text says that they grumbled against Moses. And so they grumbled. You know, they were complaining. Remember, their will was frustrated. And so they're grumbling, and they ask the question, "What are we to drink?" Right? And so there's a sense of that. That's it's their, again, their will was frustrated, their heart was being tested. But it's kind of like low-level energy, so to speak, all right? They weren't like really, you know, really, really strong in how they were requesting for and asking for a drink. But notice what is different about this passage, right? They get to another place, there's no water there, their will is frustrated, and so there's a sense that their heart is being tested there. But look at what their response was. They quarreled with Moses. And it's not just, well, you know, they had some kind of back and forth. I mean, they were mad. Their energy, their effort, their strength, their resources were being geared towards Moses and saying, look, man, we want some water. And they don't even ask the question. They don't say, well, you know, what are we to drink? They're like, give us something to drink. So their might and their strength were being directed toward Moses in a way that they were accusing him of not providing for them, right? And what they should have done, what God was testing there was, okay, yeah, you're feeling this and you're experiencing this, and so direct your energy, your resources, all these things to me, to God, right? But they took it out on Moses. Now, can you relate to that? I mean, has your will ever been frustrated and then you take it out on somebody else? And it wasn't even their issue. They had nothing to do with it, right? I mean, this, you know, embarrassingly, this happens to me sometimes. You know, maybe I'm at the home with the kids and I'm frustrated about something. And I'm like, come on, Katie. She's not even in the house. It wasn't even anything that she did. But it's like, come on. But that's wrong, right? That's not loving God with all of our might. And Katie said amen to that. Katie said amen to that, right? But oh, sorry, man. I can't preach this anymore. Right. It's only one way. Amen. But yeah, good thing there's a marriage retreat coming out. But I mean, you can relate to this. Can I get an amen out there somewhere? Maybe a couple people? Okay. So the resources and things were being directed in the wrong direction. They go to Moses. And I think when Moses said, you know, he goes to God and he's like, these people are about to stone me. I don't think Moses was bugging here. I think they were ready to stone him. And remember, there's millions of Israelites here versus Moses. All right, this is like WWF, WWE style. In this corner, we have 2 million, you know, plus Israelites. And in this corner, Moses, well, see how that goes. All right, so he's in a tough spot. But you see, Moses was the leader he was because he did the right thing. He modeled loving God with all of his might by going to God with it, right? He didn't go back and quarrel with them. He went to God with it. He's like, God, this is what's going on. These people are ready to stone me. He was loving God with all of his might. He was leading Israel. He was demonstrating for Israel what they should have done with God, right? And then you look and see how God responds to that, right? So God instructs Moses to take his staff, a resource provided by God, right? And with Moses' strength given by God and his emotional energy, his might, his vehemence given to him by God, he says, strike the rock and water will come out. So Moses did it. God provided the resources. He provided the ability to do so. Moses did what he commanded. He obeyed the command. And look at the outcome. Water flowing from a rock in the middle of the wilderness. That's amazing. That is a miracle. But Moses obeyed. And I can't help but wonder, and this is just me. I'm not saying that I'm not a scholar. I haven't read a scholar saying this, but there's a big part of me that wonders, what if the Israelites, with all of their energy, with all of their, you know, emotional strength and their might, all of this, what if they had gone to God instead of quarreling with Moses and using it in that direction? What would God have done with that? Maybe God would have instructed them with all of that energy and all that as a community to strike the rock and then water to flow in that way from what they did as a community. You see, when a community comes together and they come together and they use their strength and their resources and their gifts and their abilities for God, amazing things happen. Amazing things happen. You know, human beings have been given resources, lots of different resources, right? Emotional energy, passion, might, gifts, skills, and abilities by God. We are given these things by God. But he gives us a heart, okay, the organ of choice. He gives us a will to determine for ourselves what we will do with that strength, with that energy, with those resources, with our gifts and abilities and so forth. It is your choice and your decision. Will you love God with all of the resources he has given you, with all of your might, with all of your gifts, and with all of your strength? And I'm by no means the perfect example of this. I'm not saying that at all. But I did experience something, you know, a number of years ago where I saw the direct effect of this. And so there was this time when Katie and I were living in Indiana that I had an opportunity to take a dive, a deeper dive into spiritual formation. You know, I had started looking into that while I was here, just really enjoyed that topic and learning more about that. And so when I was in Indiana, I had some resources that I could use that I wasn't exposed to prior, and I had some extra time in the car to listen to, you know, spiritual formation podcasts and so forth. And, you know, I mentioned that last week rather embarrassingly about an experience that I had that I don't want to necessarily rehash right now, but I had lots of time in the car. And so I used that time to listen to things and really sort of allow this stuff to well up and build up in me. I was able to learn and grow in my knowledge of spiritual formation. Now, at the time, I was also teaching college courses, and so I had an opportunity to grow and develop my skills and abilities as a teacher, and I loved doing both of those things. But at that time, I wasn't using it for the church. It was just, you know, and I wasn't trying to be selfish with it. It's just I was interested in it, and, you know, here's what was going on. But then God created an opening and a door for me to use that. And so it was towards the end of our time there, one of the elders in the church decided to come up with this thing called manna in the morning, which, you know, manna means, what is it? And so I think a lot of people were like, what is he doing? What, you know, what is this? And so the idea was that on Sundays before service for a month, different teachers would come in and they would teach a lesson series. And, you know, he just picked several different people from among the congregation to come and select something that they wanted to teach. And so for whatever reason, he asked me to be part of that group. And I was so fired up. Because again, I was learning all this stuff over here, and God has given me a gift of teaching. And so I was like, great, this is an opportunity for me to teach this on Sunday mornings. And so for the first month of the year, so in January, each of those Sunday mornings, I was able to teach a series of classes on spiritual formation. I called it Life from Above. And I'll just say, from my own standpoint, it was one of the most fulfilling and rewarding experiences that I had in church out there. For a variety of reasons. I mean, one, I think it was helpful for people. I mean, you know, I got good feedback from that. And so that really encouraged me and inspired me. But I felt like God has given me these things, and now I can use them for his glory, to help people grow. And that's the way it is with our strength, with our might, with our gifts, our resources, our abilities. God wants us to use the things that he has given us for his glory, to help his people. And when you do that, the amazing thing is that it fills other people up. And Kelly did an amazing job sharing about that today in communion. So it fills other people up and it animates you. It fills you up too. Mutually beneficial. I mean, it's amazing the way that process works. And the thing I want to stress to you today that I can't emphasize enough is that you have all been gifted. We all have passions. We all have energy and gifts and talents and resources, but you choose what to do with it. You choose. That's an amazing God that gives us those things and then gives us the autonomy to decide where are we going to go with it. And the question we need to ask ourselves is, are we going to use those gifts? Number one, are we going to discover those gifts? Are we going to do the work to, you know, figure those things out? Or are we going to neglect those things and just use the things that God has given us for our own glory and our own pleasure and our own, again, glory? Are we going to use them in service to him, or are we going to hoard them for ourselves? You know, a disciple of Jesus decides that they're going to give God all their resources, all their energy, all their talents, all their gifts, all their might, all their strength. And I know what you're asking. You know, the question in your mind is, if I give God all that, how am I going to have energy, you know, for myself? God is the great giver. If you give to him, again, it's amazing the way he gives back to you, right? And we see that play out in relationships. As we give to people, we also receive. So we've got to decide that all these things that we've been gifted with are God's and will be used for his glory and his purposes. But it's not just a one-time decision, okay? I think sometimes we can go out and we can do something great and feel like, amen, I can go on spiritual gift, you know, retirement at this point. But that's not true. What we've got to do is we've got to train ourselves to be givers of our strengths, of our abilities, of our gifts. We've got to do that consistently. And so what I'm talking about here now is spiritual formation, right? If we do things as just a one-shot, one-time deal, you're not going to train yourself to learn to naturally love God with all your might, with all your strength, with all your passion and your energy and your gifts. And it's amazing what happens when you learn to do that, how it changes you and how it changes the people around you, right? God has given us a spirit, and the spirit works in us to change us. That's God's side, but our side is to engage the disciplines, is to train ourselves, in this case, to love God with all of our might. So I have a practical for you this morning, okay? I know the question is your mind, great, this is great, I love it, I want to do this, right? Is that where you are? Okay, so what do we do, right? How do we make this thing happen? Well, of course, it's God, and I mentioned God's side, but here's the practical that you can't see on the screen because I want you to all come forward and get closer to the screen. No, I'm kidding. I mean, for one thing, it's just deciding I'm gonna give God, you know, all this that he's given me. I'm gonna give it back to him. Just making that decision. But the other thing that we need to do on a consistent basis is identify your gift. And many of you have multiple gifts, right? So identify those things. What are they? And part of what we did as a church, so if you're visiting with us today, I want to encourage you have gifts that God has blessed you with as well. And he wants to see you cultivate those and grow those and use those to help people. But we as a church have completed a spiritual gifts identification worksheet. And so we went through those, and then we talked about those in our small groups, and we spent a good amount of time on those, identifying what those are. And what today is about is talking about and figuring out how can we use those and put those things into practice for God's glory in God's community. And again, we've got to do that consistently, but that's the practical. Romans 12, verses 6 through 8. Paul writes this to the church in Rome. He's like, look, we have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. And if it is to lead, then do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. This is a biblical command. It's not an option. It's not if you feel like it or when you want to. What Paul is saying, look, and what God is saying to us, look, if you have this gift, then you've got to use it. And I think that we can see that maybe as a, man, that sounds like a burden, but it is such an opportunity and a gift to us, honestly, to be able to use our gifts for God. And I think there are so many great examples of that in the church, right here in the Hudson Valley Church. There are so many great examples of people that have identified their gift, and they use it to serve, and it just glorifies God. And so I just wanted to talk about two people. So if I don't talk about you, I'm sorry, but I just wanted to talk about two people this morning. I mentioned Tina Cardona earlier. I mean, Tina has multiple gifts. One of them is to encourage, and another one is to serve. And as we've had guest speakers come into the church, Tina came to us and said, and us by Katie and me, she said, "How can I go out and find the gifts to give to our guest speakers? And, you know, I'll give it to you guys and you can present it like you got it for them and you guys can take the credit for it." No, I'm kidding. That's not what she said. But I was so inspired by that. Here she saw a need. She saw her own gift, and she figured out a way that she could use that gift for God's glory. Now, nobody really knows about that except for Katie and I. So I'm sorry if you were trying to keep that on the low so that later when you go to heaven that, you know, God would bless you. So the cat's out of the bag, but that's a great example for all of us. I'm inspired by that. I'm encouraged by that. And so thank you for using your gift in that way. The other person I wanted to talk about is Mike Santori. Mike Santori has multiple gifts. He's got, you know, several gifts that I don't have myself. And so I appreciate Mike for the many gifts that he has. One of those things is to reach out to and love college students and get them into Bible studies. I haven't been around all that long, but I've never seen anything like it. Mike single-handedly has 50% of the studies that are happening in our church right now. He all 10 of these Nyack College students he brought in and is studying the Bible with them. That's awesome. That's amazing. And one of the things that I've set for a goal for all of us, that I put before all of us, was that for each of us to get into one Bible study this year. Mike's done. Mike's done for the next 10 years. Right? But you see, Mike's not going to spiritually retire from using his gift. He's always, and Steve can attest to this too. We'll go into, you know, the cafeteria or whatever, and Mike's like, "Hey man, hey, you want to get in a Bible study? You want to get in on this too?" I mean, it's amazing the way he does that. He's using his spiritual gift for the glory of God. And so as I wrap up, I want to remind all of us that doing God's will is what identifies someone as a disciple of Jesus. That is what they do. That is what we desire. Disciples of Jesus hold to his teachings. That's their goal. That's their aim, is holding to the teachings of Jesus. And in this way, holding to his teaching means learning to love God with all of our might. Figuring out ways that we can use our energy, our skills, our passions, our abilities, and gifts to give back to God. It takes intention and effort and discipline of identifying and using our gifts so that we can change spiritually and become the kind of people that naturally and automatically love God with all of our might. Amen. Amen and thank you.